suddenly,
ta-da!
She got the moves and she got the power. She knows the truth and she calls it thunder. And she's got a black belt.
Scarab is the South Carolina Anime Role-Playing and Board Gaming Convention in Columbia, South Carolina. In addition to the annual convention, the members of Scarab, also known as the Scarab Swarm, travel to retailers, conventions, and meetups to demo a variety of games. In this podcast, we highlight topics such as gaming, conventions, the people behind it all, and more. I'm your host, John Manis, and this is the Swarmcast. Welcome to episode 7 of the Scarab Swarmcast. We open the show with iFi Dragons and their song She's Got Sorcery from their EP Welcome to the Breakdown. This is our anime episode, and I'm going to highlight the new anime track for 2014 by talking with Maggie Teese and Ruby Jones, who are coordinating the anime track. They're going to tell us a little bit about themselves, what they've got planned for 2014. Before talking with them, I'm going to give you the Scarab news, and then later, I will give you the buzz. And now, Scarab News! Okay, so before I get into the news about what events are coming up and what people should attend and look out for and places they can expect to see Scarab, I just want to mention that there's going to be some big news coming on the 15th of October, so that's just next month. For those of you who are going to attend the Scarab Game Day at Firefly Toys and Games on October 12th, we'll tell you a few days early, plus news on the War Machines and Horde's Tourney for 2014 and 2015 coming soon. For those of you attending Scarab who need a hotel room, the main hotel is down to less than 30 rooms, and I'm sure that's changed quite a bit since this announcement was originally made on Facebook. Don't worry, when they're all gone, we have an overflow hotel. So here's some upcoming events of where you can find the Swarm, or where you should just go because it's going to be fun. October 12th, Scarab's going to have a game day at Firefly Toys and Games. You should all come out, and if you see Dale Collins, wish him a happy anniversary for becoming eventually Adventure Captain for Pathfinder Society. November 2nd is going to be another game day at Firefly Toys and Games. We're going to be bringing some more Pathfinder Society, and proceeds for that are going to go to the Children's Miracle Network. So you get to play games and donate money to a really good cause. Also on November 2nd through 3rd in Warner Robins, Georgia, there's a convention called King Con, and Scarab is going to be bringing a lot of the tabletop games there. We're going to have Pathfinder Society, a lot of different Savage World settings. We'll have Shadowrun 5th Edition, plus other people will be bringing Shadowrun 5th Edition missions. I understand there's some GURPS on the list as well. And of course, I will be bringing Kobolds Ate My Baby. King Con has lots of board games, card games, CCGs, and some miniatures tournaments that are going to be there as well. You should check out their website to get all the information. The weekend of November 8th through 10th in North Charleston, South Carolina is going to be Atomicon. November 15th through 17th in Charlotte, North Carolina is Mace. Mace is always a lot of fun. I'll be there running some games, so will a few other people affiliated with Scarab. And then, of course, January 17th through 20th in Columbia, South Carolina is some other convention. I wish I could remember the name of it. It's right on the tip of my tongue. What's it called? Oh yeah, Scarab. You can register for Scarab at a discount if you go through a friend who has an Eternal membership. Go to Scarab's website for more information. If you don't know an Eternal member, post on Facebook under Scarab's group's thread and you will be sure to find one. That's it for the news. I think now we should probably meet a couple more members of the Scarab Swarm. And now, it's time to meet the Scarab Swarm! So here we are, ready to meet a couple more members of the Scarab Swarm. Why don't both of you introduce yourselves? Tell me who you are and what your role is in Scarab.
My name is Maggie Teese, and I am con support procurer at Gen Con, and I am kind of working on whatever anyone needs me to work on. I have been working on indie games, but now I'm starting on anime and ball joint dolls.
And when you say you're procurer for Gen Con, what exactly does that mean?
It means I spend my entire convention going from vendor to vendor, telling them about our amazing convention and how everyone needs to support us so that we have awesome swag for our con.
And who are you, and what is your role in Scarab?
I'm Ruby Jones. I'm married to the podcast guy, and I do anime, and I generally like to organize stuff, so I'm usually, you know, the one directing people, places, and things, and, you know, doing stuff like that.
Yelling at me to do my job.
Yes, I am actually the one that's making sure Maggie's doing the anime-related stuff now, and Kathy Silva. Alright, and you know, I help out with the Pathfinder Society stuff a bit. I don't run anything. Not yet. I will be soon at King Con.
Oh, King Con.
Yeah.
Where's that?
Warner Robins, Georgia, November 2nd and 3rd.
Wow, that's coming up very soon.
Yes, it is. And then after that, I'll be at Mace as well in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes, I am plugging two conventions other than Scarab right now.
Wow, I had no idea that Scarab was going to be... No, I'm kidding. Ruby and I are actually both coordinating a lot of the gaming for King Con, so obviously I knew about that. And we're both going to Mace because I'm going to be running some games and Ruby's probably going to be doing what she does best and getting people into games at Mace.
Yes, running people where they need to go and you generally being...
We should just get you a badge that says Official Con Cat Herder on it.
That would work.
That would work, right?
It feels like that every time we work for Paizo.
Not just that. At That's Con true. Carolinas, it was like that, too. But any convention that I've helped with, that I've helped get people to games and stuff like that, has been like herding cats. It's been fun. It's the type of thing I like to do. So
tell me, how did you get involved with Scarab, Maggie?
I have been going with Paul and Arnold. Some people know Paul as Tobes, to different conventions and doing saga gaming, where you could play the entire weekend in one storyline and test different games. Most of them were homebrews, all of them were indie. And we brought it to Scarab because someone asked us. I don't remember who, it might have been Doc. And when we got there, probably I kind of got sucked into helping do other things, and he's like, so, by the way,
what you doing? So, Ruby, why don't you tell me how did you become involved in Scarab?
I think it was purely by accident. I was actually up in Michigan with my family, taking care of my dad, when the first one started, so I didn't get to go to Scarab 1. But I came down for 2, and I was here for 3. And I'll be here for 4! Yay! But, like I said, I think it was purely by accident. Adele and Brian and Amy and Matt and Alicia. Well, I knew everyone except for Dell already from other places. And they just were like, yeah, we're interested in doing anime at some point, you know, we have a plan laid out. You know, wondered if you wanted to help. I was like, yeah, I want to help. I like organizing.
We were hunting you, yes, actually.
Apparently.
You just don't know.
Oh, really?
there were many meetings about how are we going to rip you in.
It doesn't take much,
really?
Because John, like...
Because all you had to do was ask her.
I know. they were just like, do you think they'll be interested? I'm like, probably.
I was going to say, I go to conventions and gaming because I like gaming, first off, but John always runs games, so usually he'd be the one that would get in for free and we'd pay for my ticket and I'd spend the day doing whatever, filling in games and stuff. But yeah, so a lot of fun at Scarab. It was always really neat. I'm really glad they asked both of us to help out and be part of it.
I know that both of you, I know you're coordinating and running the anime track this year, but anime is not the only thing that the two of you are into. Usually when I ask this particular question, it's a little bit more cut and dry with some people, because they're only, like, they're primarily into one particular thing. But with the two of you, it's a little bit more complicated. So I'll start with Maggie. What got you into, and I say this with air quotes, the hobbies?
Well, my gateway drug, I guess, was Sailor Moon. Everyone has, you know, Sailor Moon or Dragon Ball if they've got anime in their background.
Actually, not mine.
Okay.
My first animes were Akira, Ninja Scroll, and Vampire Hunter D.
Well, wow. my childhood memory, my first one was Cities of Gold, which I just found out was an anime.
And Ronin
Cities
Warriors.
Of Gold, really awesome.
And Ronin Warriors is really awesome. That on TV.
I was desperate and didn't have cable for that time. But then I started RPing online back when emailing was the only way to do it. And then it was chat, and it was amazing. And then I started playing games and cosplaying, and it just kept on snowballing. And
I was going to say, how did you get into cosplaying? I'm interested in that.
I found out that there were cons for anime and got my mom to agree to taking a bunch of 16 and 13-year-old children, like 11 of us, to a con by herself.
But she never did that one again.
Actually, she did it every year, twice a year, while I was a kid.
Wow.
And, boys and girls. She was a very brave woman, and she corralled us all quite nicely. But she took us to AWA and Animazement when my first year was pretty epic, and I discovered cosplaying like that year. Somebody was like, "Hey, you can dress up like the characters," and I was like, "Seriously?" And so we went as a couple of groups, and arranging group cosplay is nuts because they're eight people, you have to get them all put on the same costumes at the same time and go in someplace. Now they have like groups online where you say, "All right, everyone's gonna dress up as Bleach on Saturday," and then you show up and there's like 100 of the same character, and everyone takes pictures.
Everyone's dressed up like Khan for some reason. No, although that would be pretty awesome if everybody was dressed up like Khan. I'll have to put a picture of Khan up on the production notes. Khan, the lion.
The one that has the
sword. I'm like. Bleach. We're still in Bleach.
You're like, okay. Sure, I'm not sure how we started talking about Star Trek, but okay. Who did you first cosplay as?
My first cosplay was Flute from Violinist of Hamelin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and nobody knew who I was because it was obscure. And it's still obscure. And I also did Noriko from Fushigi Yugi.
Oh!
Okay, So.
How did you get into gaming?
Yeah, how did you get into gaming?
Well, I talked about the online gaming thing, but I was actually working at a friend's house on cosplay, and they were like, "Well, we're going to stop and play our homebrew version of D&D. And so they made me a character, and I was totally confused my first time. I was like, "I don't know what's happening." I rolled some dice, and they said if I killed something or not. It was good. Then I was told, "Get in the car, and we're going to a con." And this is called Vampire the Masquerade, and we played a LARP.
Oh.
And I understood that a little better, and then I learned to sit down and play games after that. That was a wild experience. Though, going and showing up at this place, and there's all these girls all dressed in all black, all running around, and they're like, "We're the Camarilla!" And everyone in plain clothes was a Sabbat, and I'm like, "How does this work exactly? Who's breaking the masquerade?"
Yeah.
That was my first campaign that I played in was World of Darkness. I played a Fae.
Of course I did.
Okay,
yeah, so I actually started with the old Dungeons & Dragons Red box set. My dad got it for me for Christmas one year because he wanted to learn how to play it. And he told me to read it and then teach him, which when I read it and he started to tell him about it, he was like, yeah, never mind. And that was in middle school, and I started playing with my best friend Jess and two other guys during lunch break in the library. It's really all I played in until I moved to South Carolina, and then I played in this Deadlands game, actually. It's where I first met John. Then I played in his D&D, and I've played other games as well. So many, I don't even know where to begin with them. But anyway, so yeah, that's kind of how I started gaming. How I got into anime was a sleepover with my best friend Jess for her birthday. Like, I think it was her 16th birthday. She worked at Blockbuster part-time, and she rented Akira, Vampire Hunter D, and Ninja Scroll. And all I really remember of that time is watching those at, like, midnight. And by the time we put in Akira, we were all, like, dead asleep.
Oh, gosh.
Just, like, zombies sitting there like 3 o'clock in the morning trying to watch this, and we all zonked out at some point throughout it, and we ended up trying to watch it again 3 more times that weekend. And I think we finally pieced the thing together because we kept falling asleep at different points. So it was a very interesting way to watch it. Anime really hadn't hooked me at that point. It wasn't until, again, I moved to South Carolina. Gundam Wing and Rurouni Kenshin and Kodansha were probably the big ones. And it just snowballed from there. So,
gosh, I'm gonna have the production notes on this are going to have links to all sorts of animes.
Usually
it's like, oh, I got to link this game and this game. And so, wow, those are some interesting stories of what got you into the different, your various hobbies and such. Well, I got to ask, if you had to pick your favorite anime, what do you think it would be?
Oh, you're evil.
I just got some, like, evil glares coming my way. This is what happens when you put people on the spot and ask
Cowboy
them what their
Bebop.
Favorite... Ah, Cowboy Bebop, oh, the question mark.
Oh, you just go with the safe one. Yeah, you know everyone likes Cowboy Bebop. That's what you're doing.
Now, I admit, I like Cowboy Bebop a lot, so...
Okay.
I wouldn't
say Trigun, but I won't watch the last episode because I'm afraid of the end. I watched all the way up to the last episode, and I just like, can't make myself sit through it.
Honestly, with most animes, you're probably better off not watching
them. That's how I feel, and so I'm like...
I can't say I have a favorite because there are too many that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. But I will preface that with, or whatever, I will say that when John and I moved in and we merged our CDs and anime collections and whatnot, Cowboy Bebop was the only one we both owned.
And I'd probably say your favorite series is probably Gundam or Gundam Wing series.
I have a very...
Because I know you were big into that.
I have a huge fondness for that, but I think part of it... Not necessarily Gundam Wing. I think I like Gundam 8th MS out of all of them. Gundam Wing was one of those that probably made Gundam popular, and so everyone went back and looked at Stardust Memories and all the old stuff, but that's what got the 8th MS out there. Just good stories, big mecha. And also, they have lots of models that you can put together and paint.
Yes.
That
is ultimately what it comes down to, because one of my other big hobbies is I like to paint miniatures. And actually, I started painting the giant Gundams, and then I did the SD ones, and then I went to miniatures. I have quite a few really neat, neat ones. They're all packed away, though. Don't have enough space to display everything.
So no pictures of them to go on the production notes.
No, sorry. They're all packed away.
All right. Well, let it slide this time.
Saying who wants to go get a Gundam with me at a con, get some interesting looks. That happened. When my mom was watching all the kids, one of them said, "I'm gonna go get a Gundam now. Anyone want to come with me?" And one of the guys jumped up and said, "Yeah!" And my mom's like, "Whoa, what's happening?
What's this Gundam thing?" So I put you on the spot with asking you about your favorite anime.
Favorite finished box set that I own is Clamp Campus Detectives.
Oh,
okay. It's super cute and sugary. And mindless. I can go put it in and just, oh, it's so cute! But it's VHS, so...
I was going to say, I know one that I really am proud of, and it's one of these that we picked up a long time ago. We would just pick up random animes at Best Buy. Just, you know, why not? Pick up a couple, see how they like, and we have them.
Yes.
But one of them was Requiem.
Tales from the Darkness.
Yeah.
Everyone should watch that. It's on Netflix right now.
Yeah. It's a really good one. It's, the characters and everything are animated really nicely, and the background's very surreal, but it doesn't detract from it. But I think it helps because it's basically a bunch of horror stories. It's the 1001 horror stories, but they're all Japanese-based. It's one of those I don't think a lot of people know about that they pay attention to. Because, like I said, you get 4 discs, 4 separate things that all had pencils. Pencil boards in them. Yeah, in the front, and cool. It was all $20 for all 4 of them. So it was like, when you see something that price, you're kind of like, ooh, is this going to be bad?
I feel bad coming on.
Right.
but
that
obscure.
good kind of bad, but no, this was just obscure. And like I said, I've tried to get a few different people to watch it, and the people that I could convince to watch it actually really liked it. So,
yeah. I think my Netflix will just have to... I'm sure it's on my queue right now.
Yeah, it's
like
on Instant Watch. Yeah.
On my, you should watch this because you enjoyed this.
Yeah. It's...
Since you enjoyed everything, you would probably enjoy this. There's going to be some big changes coming up to Scare 4. One of the biggest changes, one of the newest additions, is going to be the anime track.
Like you couldn't guess from the podcast already.
I understand the two of you have a little something to do with this.
Maybe.
I don't know if I want to take credit for it yet.
Well, tell us what sort of coolness you have planned for 2014. In fact, you can tell us about the stuff that's not cool, too, if you want.
Well, I'll be there, so that's not cool.
That's wrong.
Kidding. I know that we've only announced a few of the things. Obviously, we're going to have anime showings, and we're going to have a tea party on Sunday from 2 to 7. It's actually going to be open to anyone from the convention to come in. There is a $5 extra charge, but that's because you'll have tea and finger sandwiches and biscuits or tarts. I don't think we've fully decided on the menu yet.
We're going to do a bento demonstration.
Ooh, bento.
Everyone's interested in how to make one of those cool Japanese lunches and make them look fancy.
Anyway, bento boxes, yay!
We can show some techniques on how to make fun things like apple bunnies, which you see in anime all the time where people are eating little apple bunnies.
Gotta show us how to do little hot dog octopuses.
Yes.
Those are cute, too. Those are all over the animes, too.
Yeah, because every time I try to make one of those little damn octopi, it just kind of...
falls apart.
It falls apart, and then...
Maybe it's your hot dog.
It probably is.
I've seen that some of them said use Vienna sausages.
They would make it into the lunchbox.
I'm just... No. I don't know what happened to all your octopi.
Oh, this can was empty, too.
which I haven't been reading one of those, so I don't know.
Ball joint dolls, too.
Yeah, ball joint dolls. We have some special guests that are going to come and help
us out. At least one.
Yes, at least one. And we're going to do an introduction, so if you're curious and don't know anything about ball joint dolls...
Like me. I think they're kind of creepy looking. I went up looking information on it because, you know, we're going to be doing this. And I figured I should know something about them if I'm going to, you know, be... advertising them and whatnot.
Yeah.
They're freaking creepy. The realistic looking ones are creepy as hell.
It depends on which kind you have.
I'm telling you, they're creepy.
I do think that there are certain brands out there that I think are super creepy.
The anime ones I think are freaking adorable though. The ones that don't look realistic, you know, that have the big eyes and the slightly enlarged heads and whatnot. But the ones that are too human-like, that's just weird.
Yeah, I have a superhero sexy man, so.
I'm hoping you're talking about a doll there.
Yes. He's only 27 inches tall. He's definitely a doll.
Wow.
I'm very picky about which dolls I have.
I saw ones that were, the ones that I think are really neat, which I'll never own one, but I still think they're neat. The centaur looking ones, the ones that are actually
Buff has one.
Yeah, really?
Or she did have one. I think she has traded him away for something else because they're kind of like baseball cards, but like super expensive baseball cards.
$400 for a cheap one? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like going to go the whole cheap route and it totally didn't happen. I was like, you know, if I'm going to spend this much money, I'm going to have exactly what I want.
Is there anything else we can look forward to with this anime track?
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
We're petting the cats here.
They got distracted by the cuteness of the cat.
I wasn't done with my ball joint doll thing.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was like, cat.
Okay.
There is also going to be modifications and how to do face-ups, which is painting the features on. If you buy it all, they come blank. So, unless you pay extra money for them. But you can do one yourself, and it's not too expensive. And it's not as bad as it seems. So we're going to do introductory panels on doing that kind of thing.
But I think you mentioned something about props and the clothing.
Yeah, we want to show how to do making some clothes for your dolls and maybe do a pattern swap if anyone has some patterns.
That's cool.
Trace them out because a lot of us sew our own.
We're going to actually have a scavenger hunt that's running the whole time. There's going to be plastic eggs put out randomly throughout the Medallion Center. And when you find them, you can either collect the chips that are in them and bring them up all at once or trickle in and turn them in one at a time. And you'll be able to choose, depending on the color chip that's in the egg, you'll be able to choose out of one of the bins. One of the things that we're talking about is the Monster High dolls. For the big prize for each day, having three different dolls that you can choose from. Let's see, so there's the tea party. Oh, the costume contest. We keep talking about costuming. How can we forget about that?
I think I heard something about this costume contest on the internet at some point.
Yes. I think someone made a really cute little blurb to post out there, too. I don't do my writing. I make John do all the writing, which Maggie makes me do the writing. You know.
The horrible secrets have been revealed on the podcast. So, costume contest. Tell me about... So, tell us about this costume contest.
We're going to have a panel of judges who will obviously critique costumes, and people will be awarded prizes. There will also be a fan favorite, and everyone will be that comes to the convention will be able to vote on what costume they think is the best.
So you're gonna have the fan favorite one, and then one that judges are going to.
Correct. We're gonna have a first and second place that the judges will award, and then those that don't win will actually get put up and be able to be selected for a fan favorite.
Oh, very nice.
Some of the prizes are going to include an Eternal membership, a free badge for next year, gift certificates to, I think we decided, Michael's. Yeah. And possibly some con cash where you can spend at the dealers. Everyone at the convention is welcome to enter the costume contest. It doesn't have to be anime related. It could be superhero. It could be something that you bought, you know, piece by piece. Or
Steampunk,
yeah, which that totally emphasizes steampunk, piece by piece, you know. or if, you know, you just felt like pulling out your Halloween costume again to give it a shot, well, go for it.
So if I wanted to go out right now and pick up, like, some old, like, Casper the Ghost costume or something that has a picture of him on the front, you know, the old school, like a drugstore costume. I could do that and enter into the contest.
If you
were
to wear that for the whole con, I'd be willing to give you a prize just for doing that. You're the one that boom, 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 and you'll be all sweaty and horrible.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You're totally...
It would probably only fit me like a bib or something.
Yeah, you're totally welcome to do that.
I'm not going to do that.
Doesn't mean you'll win anything, except maybe our pity.
I don't need your pity.
I think I'd give $1 for that.
Yeah.
You're like, woohoo, this paid for the costume.
Dude, those things are expensive. They had them at one of the cons we went to.
Really?
Kanuga. Uh-huh. Kanuga had a display of the old Halloween costumes. The well, plastic ones. And I was like,
I wouldn't get a vintage like one where.
Well, if it's Casper, I don't think
he's
really popular right now.
That was just an example. I don't know what the kids are into these days. Probably Power Rangers or some bull crap like
Power
that.
Power Rangers are never die. Wow.
Yeah, they just keep.
Never die.
See, Power Rangers, they're kind of like Menudo. When they get too old, they just bring a new one in. I say that.
Menudo's
not around anymore. Yeah. Wow. You know, when you get up early in the morning and you watch Menudo and Turbo Team. Okay.
All right.
You got to get up early though,
yeah,
if you want.
Anyways.
Watch
oh
the,
my
the GoBots
God!
And stuff
I
like
love
that.
You.
See, that's a total lie because GoBots didn't come on the weekends. They
John,
came on the weekdays.
John, focus.
All right. Wow. So this is the anime track. I was gonna say anime room, but it's a whole track. It's not just one room, or is it? How many rooms of showings are you gonna have?
We're only gonna have the one room that's gonna be showing with karaoke. I guess we forgot to mention that, and some other possible items.
I see.
And then there's going to be a second room, which is going to be a panel room.
So yes, tell me about the panels.
We're going to be doing a couple of panels. Most of them so far are just on costuming. One of them I know for sure is the costume on a budget. A lot of people don't have a lot of money to spend. So,
like me.
Yeah. So some tips and some ideas and places and things like that that you can go to modify things. Another one I know, this is one that Maggie keeps pushing, is the It Came From The Closet.
Yeah, everyone has stuff in their closet that they're in the middle of making and then got discouraged and stuck it in the back of the closet until later.
I have one of those.
There we go. We're suggesting that people bring them in and come to the panel and finish them.
There will be sewing machines and other people there that can help you, that can give you ideas or show you how to finish out a pattern or something like that.
Yeah, we've got some professional seamstresses that are all willing to donate their time. So that
and machines.
Can, yes, we're bringing our own machines so that you can finish a costume, possibly before the costume contest.
Oh,
we don't quite have scheduling done, so
we'll see.
So, we'll see.
Oh,
So if that's your main plan, you know, I'm going to finish up this. I'm going to take this to the convention, finish it at the convention, and then enter it into the contest.
I wonder if you should do a you should
change your plan.
Kind of like they do speed painting.
Oh, I was hoping it wasn't going to be like speed dating. Oh, you had to keep changing people.
Yeah. Ding! All right, you got to go to the next table and
change your costume.
I don't know what costume this is!
How am I supposed to be like, what is this?
I think I need a glue gun or something. I don't know.
No. Oh, this isn't necessarily anime related or anime track related, but it does kind of go off the costuming. I know that the Widow's track is going to be doing a crafts room. So there might be something there that we can intertwine, you know. In other words, if there's, oh, I need this pipe cleaner to complete my costume, you might be able to go check out the Widow's track in the crafts room.
Ah, yes. Plug for the Widow's room.
Hey, yeah. I rob you. What do you mean a dollar for a pipe cleaner?
So.
No, they're not going to charge you a dollar for a pipe cleaner.
Really, we have the two rooms there, and then the tea party, because we can't have outside food and drink, and the Medallion Center is actually going to be over in the hotel space on the first floor, but that's going to be on Sunday. That's probably the only thing we have scheduled right now, Sunday, 2 to 7, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., so lunchish time.
Okay, because everything else you want to save at the end, so people are surprised by when it happens.
There are other events and things. We can't give it all away right now.
That sounds like some awesome stuff. Sounds like 2014 Scarab 4 anime track is going to be pretty big.
Yes, I hear anime is, and this anime track is actually a year or 2 years ahead of the Scarab's plans.
It is.
So wow. That's pretty awesome.
I think we were waiting until 2016 originally, but suddenly,
ta-da!
So that's another reason to come to Scarab, so you can see, witness the results of time travel, apparently. Do either of you have any shout-outs or any thanks, or, as the kids say, mad props to give to anybody?
I do. Japanime Games has given us some great anime-based games to start off this year's, and we're going to try having them in the hall around the anime room so that you can test them out if you don't feel like venturing into the scary hall of gaming and you're new to the con.
I know when we went to Gen Con, I walked over to their booth a few times.
I did too.
I'm sure the whatever they call them, the booth babes, didn't have anything to do with that. Actually, it didn't.
Totally did, actually. Tony Darling was there.
Oh, that's right.
We went there to pick up something for a friend of ours that couldn't make it to Gen Con.
That's right. We went there and we saw Tony Darling. We got some pictures of her signed for our friend Calvin Korn. Find him, smack him in the face, then run away.
No, don't do that.
If you see him, though, just say, hey, Calvin, even if he doesn't know who you are. And just walk away and leave him wondering. It'll be great.
Yeah, okay. That trailed off someplace pretty awkward.
Yeah. That's the power of editing.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I'll be like, nah, I'm leaving it. Move it out to the front.
No, I don't really have anyone in particular to thank. I'm happy and excited to be working with the other people at Scarab. I just have fun gaming. No one special I want to thank. Except myself. I'm special.
Wow, that's a first. Nobody has thanked themselves on any of these things yet. That's a very bold move.
It is, isn't it?
Good job.
I would like to thank you, too, for corralling me and then making him do all our work.
I know. Actually, I don't make him do all the work. I just make him do the writing. You know, but this is actually, this part is kind of amusing to me, because I give it to him, I say, okay, here's what I want in it. Go, do your writing. Then let me read it, and I'll tell you what I want changed. So,
you don't even edit your own work.
I do. I edit his work. You know, it's like, no, I don't want this sentence. Take that out. You know. I make him so annoyed sometimes, especially when I stand over his shoulder while he's typing. Yeah.
What sentence is that? You're funny as a left. Try again.
No. I think I'm more of a technical kind of writer, whereas if you saw what I would write, it would be very bullet point, I guess, is more to the type of writing I would do, you know, more technical. He has a better creative flair than I do, so it's best he does the writing.
I agree.
So I guess in a way you
agree for a different reason there.
Well, I agree.
Like, that way I don't have to do it.
No, well, I'm not very good apparently at writing scenarios and things. I usually have to send them to Paul to edit, so...
Oh.
You know, I didn't know that Paul was his name for years. I always thought it was Tobes, and finally one day I was like, all right, why did your parents name you Tobes? And he's like, he started laughing at me. He's like, that's not my name. I was like, what do you mean? That's all I've ever known you
that
as.
That was one of the officers of Nashi did that.
Well... Because I know this story, and I know the story, but
yeah,
I'm thinking, because in like the next couple episodes of the podcast, or during the next couple months leading up to Scarab, I'm going to be interviewing the different GMs and stuff. I will make him tell that story. On
That'd
his thing.
Be good.
I'll be like, yeah, you're running some stuff. I don't want to know about that. Tell me why people call you Tobes.
Good job.
And then I'll turn it off and say, oh, no, you can still tell me about your games. And I won't record it, and he'll cry. No, he won't cry.
He'll go, ha-ha.
All right. So, now usually some of the swarm members have come on the show, and they've had little interesting stories. Like, there was a story about a nun grenade, and there was a story about, I don't know, whatever Dell's talking about. He blah, blah, blahs all the time. Nobody really listens. Do either of you have any humorous anecdotes, con-related or non-con-related? Or?
I have a... costume-related incident. I've got several, but my favorite one is the people always told me you should make your costume and then test it out before you go to the con. I discovered why at a con when I made my Street Fighter costume and then I couldn't raise my arms. Because if I did, everyone would see my underwear. So I couldn't drink water without assistance.
Oh my. Or going to the restroom.
Well, we the whole way there, we were looking for, I was wearing the Street Fighter cami costume. It's red and yellow and blue. And the whole way there, we were trying to find show panties in any of those colors. Any of them! Nope. No. Mm-mm. Can't be had. So we get there, and I'm like, oh, it's too late. I'm going to do my best not to show my underwear, so every time I wanted a drink of water, I'd kind of have to go find a friend and be like, hey, could you give me some water? do a baby bird thing for my head bag. So, it really is true. You should always test your costume and give yourself time to fix problems.
This is sad. I can't think of any that I could tell on the podcast that aren't R-rated.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. Oh, well, no. I guess...
Well, there's one time when we... Oh, wait, I can't tell that.
Yeah.
Well, then there was this... Oh, I can't tell that one.
I guess one of my more amusing things is, over the years, gaming with John, we've said and done many various weird things. And occasionally, John will make doodles. And I found him again recently. There's this Pac-Man ghost wielding bastard swords. There's this hippie dragon that's smoking with a birthday hat. There's, see, it's not even my story. It's all about John.
Oh, yeah, Maggie's giving these looks like, what the heck are you talking about?
I know, I don't have him out, but I found him, like I said, I found him again recently. But, and then see, we end up doodling. If we aren't being vulgar, we're doodling because... Matt and Jenna and
That's
Doug
true.
All made hobo gamba claws.
I'll have to find the picture of hobo gamba claws and put that out there somewhere.
Yeah. I think Jenna has it.
Oh, you're probably right.
But,
I don't remember what, he was drawing something? He's trying to draw some dude in a trench coat?
Yes.
And he put, like an excessive amount of 5 o'clock shadow on him?
And Jenna took the picture and put a gambit staff in it.
Yeah, she's like, it's gambit! And I think
Doug took it, made
Doug
it Santa
said it,
Claus.
Said it, yeah. And I think I said it looks like he's a homeless guy, like a hobo.
Yeah.
And that's how he became Hobo Gambit Claws.
Which,
are you breaking that down for me? I was trying to, figure out what a Gambit Claws looks like.
But then, to make it even more amusing, is our friend Doug and Jenna named their home network Hobo Gambit Claws. And shortly after they did that, they had moved, and they got their cable installed, and the guy has to come out and hook it up and everything, and he's looking at the list of networks, he's like, she's like, oh yeah, it's Hobo Gamba Claws, that's us, and he's like, okay.
Yeah, so. but I mean, our network is Lord Wellington's Beef Trapeze, so.
Yeah. No, I don't have any funny gaming stories.
Ours
was
Surveillance Fan.
Surveillance Fan, which is an awesome thing.
I know, right?
It's awesome to name the... All right, so Ruby's got no funny gaming stories that she can share.
That I can share. There are plenty that I cannot share.
Nothing interesting.
Well, that's just fun.
I know.
Awesome gaming story.
Well, go for it. Maybe I can think of
something.
Yeah,
make up for her lack of gaming
story. Lack of story.
Sorry, I can't share, you know.
I have stories I can't share, too, but, you know.
That's why she's not sharing it.
We were playing a game of Little Fears. I was running it at Dragon Con, and the game sold out, and more people showed up to the table. And I was hoping for 5 people, and I had, like, 7.
Wow.
I was like... I'll do it, because they all had the disappoint face. I think I had 9 at the beginning, and I had to send 2 away, because I was like, there's no way. But during the game, some of the kids were all, had a whole bunch of girls playing. My table was like 50-50, but they were all playing girl characters. And during it, they decided that they were the Charlie's Angels when they got scared.
Right.
They made their team into Charlie's Angels. And so in the middle of the game, they did something, and they all got so psyched out about it, they had to jump up and go take a group photo posing as Charlie's Angels. So we have Facebook friends in this photo floating around of Charlie's Angels with girls and guys all like doing these sexy poses. And I'm like, oh, what's happening?
And you're like, this is from my Little Fears game.
I did think of a gaming story.
Yay! Tell us your gaming story, Ruby.
So, a while back, we were at, I believe it was Kind Carolinas, and John was running Kobolds Ate My Baby, and one of the costuming or voice people or something was playing in it. She was wearing a very revealing, piratey bodice push-up thing. And one of the things in Kobolds Ate My Baby is you can reduce your roll, how many dice you have to roll to succeed at something, by barking like a kobold. And the shtick with that is you, if someone else has done it before you, you have to bark louder or better than they have. Well, she was the first one to do it, and she went all out. She was, like, top of her voice, and she went around the room, the whole gaming room, down on all fours. And let's just say a lot of the guys enjoyed that. But the person that followed after her then had to outdo her. And he went around to stopped at each table in the room barking at them and came back to the table. Luckily, everyone in the room was really cool about it because apparently they were doing a tavern-type scene for RPGA. And so it was like 6 or 7 tables that were all doing the same thing. And when we started barking, they were all like raised their mugs and started like cheering and barking themselves. So that was probably the coolest bark like a kobold moment in a game I've seen. See, that one was almost too vulgar to tell. Almost, but I kind of toned it down. I didn't expose how exposed she was. It was a little like that. What? You have editing power.
I do. And you are making me, you're going to be making me use it.
Yes.
A lot for this particular episode.
What did I do? Keep you on your toes?
I did that.
It's not any worse than the...
Oh, you've got
a couple
worse.
Episodes
yeah.
ago. Well, cool. Thank you, Maggie and Ruby, for sharing all of that information and those interesting stories. I'll have to check out this what, Kobolds
Ate My Baby
game?
Oh, you know better than that.
I do. I apologize for that to everybody. But anyways, again, thank you, Maggie and Ruby, for spending some time giving me information about yourselves and about what you're doing with Scarab in the anime track for Scarab 4.
If you're interested in having some sort of particular type of fan panel, whether it's, you know, I guess we can handle Firefly related, but we prefer anime related. If there's just something that you're interested in that you want discussed or looked into sort of thing, or if there's an anime you want to see, just hit us up on Facebook. There's actually 2 polls on our Facebook group page that you can definitely put your interest there, or you can email us on the Scarab webpage or on rubyjones@scarab.com. Yes, all those silly dashes in between Scarab letters.
Or friend her and hound her incessantly. More bleach. No.
And if you want to contact Maggie, you can email Ruby Jones.
That's true. Maggie doesn't answer emails unless I text her and tell her to check her email.
Yeah, I'd be better if you Facebook messaged me.
So Facebook, yes. Yay, Facebook. Facebook. Everyone should go out there, check out those two polls that are out there. One's about the fan panels. The other is asking what type of animes people want to watch, want to view, want to see.
Yeah.
Experience, as it were.
Drill on themselves and watch. Amazement.
And now, Buzz.
I wanted to start the buzz by talking about a game that's currently on Kickstarter called Accursed by Melior Via. It's a Savage World setting set in a dark fantasy world. It's akin to Ravenloft, Solomon Kane, or Castlevania. Check out their Kickstarter. There's only a handful of days left. Kobolds Ate My Baby in Color has just come out in PDF format. You can purchase it from DriveThruRPG. Ninth Level Games will be making their convention circuit in 2014 and should have several print copies of Kobolds Ate My Babies and some of their other games as well. And all hail King Torg! If you are planning on running or demoing games or have an event planned for Scarab 2014, I will be giving each of you the opportunity to have a 1 to 5 minute slot to promote what you are doing in podcast form. Let me know via Facebook or email, and we'll make arrangements to get your message recorded or read on the podcast. Hit me up on Facebook through Scarab's Facebook site, or email me directly at johnmanis@scarab.com, and it's Scarab with hyphens between each of the letters. That's it for episode 7 of the Swarmcast. I want to thank Maggie and Ruby for letting me talk with them about the anime track. I also want to thank, of course, MC Lars and iFi Dragon for letting me use their music. Check them out at mclars.com and ifightdragons.com. I'm going to leave you with this bonus track for Japan by MC Lars. So until next time, I'm John Manis.
Hey Japan, here's the bonus track. It's track 15. Oh no. Ooh. Oh yeah.
I read the stuff on Wikipedia, so don't take it as fact. I bring the knowledge of Japan you whack MCs lack. I pack so much flavor that I make your tongue snap as I tear it up on this Japanese bonus track. Japan is located in Eastern Asia. It's a country more prosperous than Malaysia. They make robotic dogs and PSPs, Nintendo and messed up pornography. I bought the DVD of that Battle Royale movie where kids cut each other up just like sushi. Kids killing kids on a lost island. I can't show my parents, they wouldn't understand. American consumers like Japanese cars because Japanese cars are built better than ours. Better than ours. Better than ours.
This is the Japanese bonus track. Laws is international and that's a fact. This is a bonus track for Japan. Cause Laws is special for his Japanese fans.
Country's biggest city, but Japanese people are itty bitty. They bow and say thank you in the halls. Kids there like Pac and Biggie Smalls. What Chibamato is Japanese, but the Wu-Tang Clan is not Japanese. Super Mario Brothers are Japanese. Hello Kitty Appa Kisses are half Japanese. Homer was plagiarized on a box, a fish light bulb that cleaned his socks. When it's Mr. Sparkle in effect, dirt is something he disrespects. The Ninja Turtles aren't Japanese, but the Iron Chef is Japanese. And MC Lars is in Japanese.
Wanna learn more about Japan?
Yes, please.
This is the Japanese bonus track. Lars is international and that's a fact. This is a bonus track for Japan. Cause Lars is special for his Japanese fans.
arigato, Japan.